It's Tuesday, October 10th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. And hey, how's everybody? And I know some of you had an extra day off of work. I know that I did. I was able to enjoy a federal holiday. You know, but many of my friends, a lot of the team from Raw Voice, they all had to work today. So they were kind of mad at me when I was getting some instant messages this afternoon. And they're like, well, how was your day at work? I'm like, well, I was home all day. How are you? But hey, everyone, how are you? I know some of you have been back to work. Some of you are not. Today is the first day back to work. I know my inbox is going to be absolutely slammed. You know how it goes. You get a 3-day weekend and then it's major catch up time. But boy, oh boy, I tell you, putting out a challenge for calling the voicemail hotline. You guys must want some swag in a serious way. And there's definitely some Starbucks lovers in this audience because, whew. We got some voicemail. All right, and we got some good tech to talk to you about tonight as well. But for all of you that have been part of the family here and you're staying subscribed, hey, thanks for being part of the Ohana. And of course, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, make sure that you get signed up for our newsletter so that you can get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. You can find that on the second column of the website. And it basically says podcast newsletter. You sign up for that. Click the link there and sign up, and you'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. Also, I want to point out that we've had an ongoing link on the website that says free tech mags. Now, if you are into a specific type of technology and you want to get some really in-detailed tech magazines, click on the free tech mag, search for the type of stuff you're looking for, and that gives us a little kickback. We get $1 for every subscription that you all sign up for. They're all free. I don't know how they do it, but you know, every once in a while they send me a check for $30 or $40, whatever we get for click-throughs over there. But check that out at Free Tech Mags, and of course, keep those voicemails coming at 619-342-7365. I've got a lot of stuff for you tonight, but first things first, the team at Raw Voice made a decision last week that we are in need of another programmer. So if you have a background in PHP and you also know your way around a Linux box, you must the person that we want to fill this position with has to have an absolute, unequivocal, full-scope handle on being able to manage servers, multiple servers. You also have to have a background in PHP, and if you've got web design on top of that, or vice versa, if you're strictly a server manager and you've got graphics graphics experience, those will work too. So if you're interested in a position at Raw Voice, let us know. You can send me a comment to ceo@rawvoice.com. That's a little different address. But ceo@rawvoice.com. And, you know, most of the people that we've gotten for the team over there has come through this show. So we'll see if that happens this time as well. But we're on the hunt. And I think, though, we've been talking to a couple of people about a marketing position. I will know here in another week or so whether or not we've filled our marketing position over there as well. All right, what else have I got going on here? Hey, just give you an update real quick on my niece. Surgery went really, really well on her fusion of C1 and C2. She is doing really, really well and on the road to recovery. We're very happy with the progress. I should get an update probably tomorrow on what the full scope of what's happened, but I'm very, very pleased. And all we can do at this point is keep, keep her in our thoughts and prayers, and hope that continues. She continues to progress and have good signs of recovery. All right. Don't have a lot of just general discussion stuff, but this weekend I took some time and spent time with the kids, and we did some running around and catching up around here. But today, all day, I have been essentially in this chair. I did a Barry cast this morning. I did a tech podcast this week. We did a PCN Network news and updates. What else? Oh, I got all the video edited for the podcast awards and the audio done for that. I got the postings up for the roundtable we had previous Saturday, and that turned out really good. Boy, we had a great review of things that we found at the Podcast and Portable Media Expo, our takeaways. That is a video or a podcast that you're definitely going to want to listen to over at techpodcast.com. And of course, that was with our sponsors from GoToMeeting. And you've heard me talk about that. And if you really want to see the power of that application, then just go over to techpodcast.com. And there'll be a link there for, say, a Tech Podcast Roundtable. It'll have the date of the 7th. It'll say video. Click on that, and you'll get a chance to look and see how this application works. Of course, it's got the audio in there, too, as well. So if you want a free trial, you can do that at gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. All right, what else have I got here lined up? Lots of good news today, for sure. And I've got a full lineup for you. But, you know, every once in a while I run across a health article that I think is appropriate. And, of course, many of us geeks probably do not get as much exercise as we need. But, you know, if you are an aging adult and you're looking for ways to protect your heart, either through a good diet and also exercise, there's some additional things that you can do to really take care of your old ticker. So take a check. I'll put this link up at the top of the show notes. I'll let you guys read it that are interested in it. But it's typically some very, some stuff that everyone should know already. But there's a couple of things in here that I wasn't familiar with before about some new tests that are available as well. So check it out, and then link will be up in the show notes. As well, I want to make sure that if you're looking for domain names or a hosting package, or even looking to score some domains in a domain auction, make sure you get over to GoDaddy.com. And if you go over there and you find something that you're looking for, make sure that when you check out, you use one of our promo codes. The one that's really been popular recently, of course, is Geek5. You take a 15% off an order of $20 or more. One that not a lot of people know about is Aloha. A-L-O-H-A, Aloha, take an additional, we get a $20 off an order of $75 or more. And, of course, you can use ComSale to get $6.95 domains every day of the week. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. All right, got all the business taken care of, and I've got to give you a little health update. Let's go in and tear up some content here. There is a great review of a Sprint/Verizon EVDO comparison. They also compare Singular HSDPA as well. Although the Singular folks, I'm sorry, you guys are about in the same boat as the T-Mobile folks are. The very, very limited markets that have the high speed availability. But the Sprint EVDO comparison is very, very good. And there's a kind of a summary there for newbies and for you to find information out about EVDO. This is a little bit of a, it's apparent that the person that wrote this may have been a Sprint employee. We're not 100% sure, so I am going to give you a fair warning on that, but you can check that out via the link in the show notes. So take it for what it's worth, and your reviewer beware. But the guy claims not to be, it says, update, I am not an employee or associated with any carrier, but should be known I do use Sprint based on the following analysis. So he must be a Sprint user, but he's got some great information here. We've got some people in this audience that are Sprint employees, and maybe they could take a look at this overview of what has been written here and comment back to us. It'd be kind of cool if we got an email back from you. They would say, hey, that's a real accurate depiction of the network. But you'll find this over at the evdoforums.com. I'll have the thread linked up in the show notes, obviously. All right, over the weekend, Michael Arrington attended an event in Washington, D.C., and I feel sorry for the guy because he got beat up bad. He went to an event that had traditional media people there, and there's been two or three articles on this already, people referring to the reception he had. But he essentially called the new media people out to call them to task, and he wasn't too well liked, and took some verbal attacks back, and even some bloggers went after him, which was pretty surprising. But apparently he kind of wishes he hadn't went. But it just goes to show you that the mainstream media today is very, very sensitive to bloggers and the content that we're putting up. And I guess I agree completely with Michael in the fact that, you know, if I put something up on my blog that is controversial or it doesn't vet correctly, I get called out on it. And we call other bloggers out on as well. And, you know, you call me out on this show if I make a mistake. And that's kind of how we're self-correcting. And you have the ability to leave a comment or bash the host or, you know, do whatever you want to do. And at the same point, you know, we link to other people's commentary. You don't see newspapers linking back to bloggers very often. It just doesn't happen, especially the New York Times. You know, I stopped referring to the New York Times because every time I put a link up to an article, within a couple of days, it would go behind the firewall. Now, I know many of you have sent me the links on how to do that so it doesn't go behind the firewall so that you can still get the commentary later on. But I'm just refusing. I'm not going to do it no more. And unless it's something very, very compelling, then I'll probably mention this show only and try to provide a secondary link on someone else's commentary on the New York Times commentary, maybe even something that I have written. But it's very, very obvious to me that they just don't get it over there. And Michael Arrington makes some comments about that in his post up on his website. So I'll have a link up to that in the show notes. And I'll have a couple of the links to some people that have responded to him as well so that you get an idea of what happened. All right, you know, I have to be funny here. All of MP3.com has gotten some superb marketing courtesy of the United States government here in the last couple of days. Now, you know that they've been come under all kinds of attacks by the Commerce Department. The WTO's made comments. You just name it. There's all kinds of groups and officials that have come out and have told the Russians they have to shut down all of MP3.com. And you look at it. We've talked about all of MP3 at least two or three times over the last couple of weeks right in this show. And normally we wouldn't talk about them maybe once every couple of months. But the all of MP3 has gotten so much traffic from the comments that these trade representatives and these Chamber of Commerce people have made, that their revenues are way, way up. And, you know, their traffic's up, and they've actually had to add bandwidth, I guess, because, you know, the Uncle Sam and their representatives have made the general public aware that they can go to all of MP3.com and download music, and you have to pay for it. Now, we all understand that there's probably some issues over there with them paying royalties back, and the Russian government has made some strides maybe to be looking at shutting it down. But obviously, there's a lot of consumers that are willing to pay for music when it's priced reasonably. And we'll see what happens here in this and how it goes. But, you know, you pay by the, I think how they work it is you pay it for whatever the size of the file is or whatever quality is. The higher the quality, the bigger the file, the more the file costs. I don't know what it costs per download, of course. But, you know, for people that are sneaker netting stuff back and forth between themselves or sharing CDs or whatever it may be, you would think that some of these music organizations would get a clue and come up with some pricing. Now, the 99-cent model, you know, everyone says it's really working, and but I don't buy music off iTunes. I really, really don't. And once in a while, I'll buy some music, but I've got most of my music. I'm an old school guy. I like my old school rock and roll and metal, and it's the way it goes. I listen to PodSafe music as well when I can find it. And one of the sites that I get stuff off now that you ought to check out if you're a podcaster is iota.com. It's a great site to lots of mainstream music that they've licensed over there. And if you do a music podcast or you want music for your podcast, go over to iota.com and check that out. There were one of the people that was at Podcast and Portable Media Expo that we had talked about during our roundtable on Saturday over at techpodcast.com. So if you want a little information about them, you can, you know, and what we talked about, you can check out the roundtable presentation by Adrian Bacon on what he had to say about them. All right, the big news of the day, of course, is Google. Google buying YouTube, $1.65 billion in stock. Holy cow. $1.65 billion. Is Google crazy or what? Are they going to get their money back? What is the poll here of the audience? Do you think Google is going to get their money back with this purchase? Think about that, folks. Billion. $1.65 billion. Did you know that Sequoia, the venture capitalist firm, I believe they only invested around $11 or $12 million, and their cut on this will be like $230 million. And the two or three founders are going to get like $200 million each. That is like, or $200 million in stock, but sell it. I'm sure there's some, whatever the rules on that are, but these guys are, they're set, you know, they're set for life. Wow. You know, talk about some serious cash. That's just, holy cow. But Mark Cuban's got a posting on it. He says, I still think Google is crazy. And I mean, there's probably 150, 200 blog posts that were in techmimi.com that at least discussed on this today. So what does this do for other social sites? $1.65 billion. That's just, can't even imagine that kind of money. Really, really can't. But congratulations to the YouTube team and all of those that were on the ground floor, all those that... look at the hard work they put forth and look at their just reward. Now, we'll see if it becomes, well, Google is saying it's going to stay its own brand. It's not going to be brought into the mantra of Google, but you're going to better well guarantee there's not going to be any Yahoo or Microsoft ads on YouTube. That's pretty sure for sure. All right, how many of you remember back in the old days where every website you went to had a hit counter on it? You know, and they were always kind of a joke. It was like bragging rights. Oh, my site got 50 hits today, or it got 1,000, or I just reached 1 million hits. You know, now people are using more developed metrics. I know that I use SiteMeter. I use Google Analytics. Sure, we track web traffic, but we don't look and see on a daily basis, oh, my site got 5,000 hits today. I really don't watch that. But we do watch where people are coming from. We do watch what type of articles drive traffic. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on today that you're going to monitor that we never monitored before. So as Web 2.0 has the hit counter, you know, gone by a bygone era. Is it a viable thing? Do you worry about hit counts on your website, or do you just work on the content? It's pretty good questioning, you know. And there's been a lot of people that have said that it doesn't matter anymore. Hits really don't matter, and it's a level playing field out there. Now, a while back, Evan Williams declared that page views are obsolete, and his reason for that was Ajax and RSS. So I do agree that RSS is a big factor in the amount of traffic a site gets today. Without RSS, especially in the blog or podcasting space, you know, we wouldn't have gotten the growth that we've seen. But are there any Web 2.0 audits? And they're asking that at TechDirt. And so we'll have to see what happens there. But it'd be kind of cool to be able to submit a site that would be doing some like Web 2.0 auditing, which would allow you to send an advertiser over there to get verification of a site's popularity and the type of traffic as well. I think that would pay off in the long run very well. All right, tomorrow, for those of you that have not already downloaded Internet Explorer 7, rumors are abounding that Microsoft is going to push out IE7 in the critical update tomorrow on Patch Tuesday. So you may, I don't know how they're going to do this, because you would think you would have to opt in for this, but it is definitely going to be released sometime this month. It's going to have, of course, tab browsing in it, built-in RSS feeds. It's going to help users spot phishing, and it's also going to, you know, have all the new features, that the security features. Now, if they push this out as a critical update and a lot of commercial customers get this, I just can't imagine that they will do it. But with Firefox on the grow, and of course, we're going to talk about Release Candidate 2 here tonight as well, because there's some great reviews out on Firefox 2.0. So we will see what happens tomorrow, but don't be surprised that you get IE7 pushed to you automatically. Now, I'm sure it's going to give you an option to say, do you want to install this or not? But what I would recommend that you do is, if you're not doing automatic updates, is that you look at the list of patches and stuff that's being pushed to you, and if you want to opt out, you can do that. Maybe too late. Some of you may get it in the morning if they do push it. So we will we'll see what happens there. There's a very disturbing story that I blogged today. Matter of fact, one of the listeners of the show sent me a link via email and pointed it out to me as a post that was put up on their website. I linked the original article that was up in TechDirt. Talks about SpamHaus. Now, those of you that are, you're probably saying, SpamHaus, what is that? SpamHaus.org, spelled SpamHaus.org, is a independent body of essentially volunteers that build spam blacklists, I guess, is the best way to call it. And their database is pretty extensive, but they got sued recently by an accused spammer. And SpamHaus decided that they really weren't going to defend themselves, because they're based out of the UK, and they had a little worry that they were going to have to, you know, defend this if the case was won against them. Well, it turns out that the judge awarded an $11 million judgment against the anti-spam organization, and at this point, the judge is considering going to the ICANN to ask them to suspend the SpamHaus.org website. Now, if this happens, it's going to cause all sorts of problems for a great number of ISPs. I mean, it'll be ugly. I know that we use the blacklist on all of our servers. I know they are one of the predominant people that track spam, and a lot of the applications are integrated so that they can block this stuff when it comes in. So if this judge goes to the ICANN and gets them shut down, it'll be a huge, huge travesty. Now, I don't know the details on the lawsuit, but they're pretty careful on who they call a spammer and who they don't. Now, without getting myself in trouble here, because I really don't know the full details on this case, the person in question that sued, you know, was accused by this organization of being a spammer. So whether or not they were, it leaves a lot to guess. But the reason they won is because they did not go and defend themselves in court. So relatively, this company has, I don't think they've got any money. I don't think the organization does. So they're really not going to get any money out of it. But this could be bad. It really, really, really could be. So we'll keep an eye out on this. I'll let you know how it continues. But it's a pretty sad day when an accused spammer can get one of the or have the predominant anti-spam groups essentially taken offline, and that's what's being, you know, proposed here, or what could happen. So not good, not good at all. And I guess in a few days we'll find out whether or not it happens. There is some speculation over on their forum section that if they do this, ISPs will still be able to use the IP of the organization to be able to get the information or talk back and forth, but it could get really, really ugly. All right, looks like North Korea, it looks like they did their nuke test. This is very, very bad news. If it is indeed a nuclear explosion, it's being reported on MSNBC that scientists are trying to figure out whether or not that the explosion was caused by high explosives or if it was actually a nuclear weapon. If it was, they say the yield on it was probably pretty small, about a kiloton, which would have, you know, it's you can recreate that with about 1,000 tons of TNT. So does this mean that their device partially failed and didn't have a complete reaction? There was, I guess, a magnitude 4.2 seismic event, is what's being reported by the U.S. Geological Survey said. And but if this happened, you know, this could get ugly, ugly, ugly really, really quick. And, you know, I support whatever happens here with sanctions against North Korea. You know, these guys are, they're madmen. They really, really are. This guy's a wacko. So we'll see what happens with this, but I'm sure it's going to be filling our news airways. I hadn't watched the news all weekend, so I caught this in an actual RSS feed off of another site. So only time will tell, but what's your feelings on this? Where do you think this is going to lead to? Or, you know, are we going to be doing something militarily wise to North Korea anytime soon? Or is it just, do you think the diplomatic option will work? And will the Chinese and Russians stand in the way? You know, I guess, you know, this is getting more political. I don't really want to get political on this show for sure, but, you know, it's a pretty significant world event. All right, on the Apple Insider, Target has warned studios over digital movie pricing. I guess Target, along with Walmart, who did this earlier, has sent a pretty strong letter to movie studios expressing concern over a new movie download service like Apple's computer iTunes. They're getting better deals from studios on digital copies of movies than retailers get on DVD. You know what? Target needs just to go and sell DVDs. You know why? Do you think that you're going to be getting as high of a quality movie online than you're going to get from Target if you go buy the actual thing? You know, my wife and I were out shopping this weekend, and we were in a store, and they had a bin of DVDs that had on sale for $5.99, and I don't generally buy a lot of DVDs. I just don't. I looked through them, and we looked through all the titles, and it was just junk, all junk, 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 junk DVDs, and, you know, movies and stuff that had been out for years. It just was a bin full of them. And it wasn't Walmart. It wasn't one of those, because I don't generally shop in Walmart. It was just a normal store that was selling this stuff here in Honolulu. And I said, boy, you know, are they just going to start giving these things away? Because who's going to buy these things? You know, people were sorting through them, and just, I didn't see anybody walk away from this rack with any DVDs. Now, at the same point, I'm not going to pay $19 for a DVD. So where do you think this is headed? Are the studios going to cave to the demands of Target and Walmart? That's the question we have to ask, and we have to see what happens here. It does appear that Walmart, though, has softened its stance a little bit, and apparently Steve Jobs complained in a telephone call to Walmart CEO about it and called their behavior anti-competitive. So we will see. You know, of course, Walmart has about 40% of the DVD sales in the United States. It's a big part of their profit margins. So we will see what happens. But I guess the retailers pay between $17 or $18 wholesale for new release DVDs. And of course, if they're selling them for $5.99 in a rack, that obviously they've lost a bunch of money on those if they've had to pay that much. There's, along with that, goes an article that talks about the cost of movie piracy to the United States. And this was over on tortfreak.com. And this was a recent study by the Institute for Policy Innovation, IPI, reveals that movie piracy not only has a direct impact on the movie business, but that it also has affected the U.S. economy on a larger scale. Now, there was a MPAA-funded study, of course, and they said that the industry lost $1.3 billion and $1.3 billion in the U.S. and $6.1 billion worldwide. But the IPI and those figures, now why didn't they do their own figures? Here's the question there. You know, they're trusting data from the MPAA? Give me a break. But anyway, the IPI concludes that $5.5 billion was lost in annual earnings among U.S. workers. There was 141,000 jobs lost, $837 million in lost annual tax revenue, and $20.5 billion in lost annual output to all U.S. industries. So, you know, I go along and I agree with this conclusion of this article on TorrentFreak.com, excuse me, that, and I'm going to quote here, perhaps the MPAA should put more efforts in developing new and innovative peer-to-peer ways to distribute motion pictures over the web. Well, it sounds, you know, sounds like it's to their advantage, obviously, if this website's torrentfreak.com. So what do you think? I'd like to really hear from you on email. I'm not going to dime you out. What I would like to know is, how can we do this? Should I set up a poll? Should I set up a Geek News Central poll? Maybe I'll do that. I'll try to get it up tomorrow. I'll let you guys do a poll where I can say, are you guys downloading movies via the net? How many of you are down? And maybe a follow-up question to that would be, is how many DVDs do you buy? How many do you rent? You know, I'd like to know the raw numbers on this geek listening audience. I really, really would. You know, because all these studies come out all the time, and you know, we should be able to get a great sampling from this group. So what I'll do is watch the blog at geeknewscentral.com. I'll try to do it tomorrow. Hopefully I'll get it up someday on Tuesday or maybe even Wednesday. But watch the blog, and I'll leave that poll up there for a few days or for a week or so. And if you're a listener, let's go and fill that survey out so that we can find out. And of course, I'll do it through a third party where, you know, nothing can be tracked back. I just want to know how many of you are downloading music movies over the internet. Maybe we'll ask music too. Who knows? But I'd like to get a feeling on what you guys are all spending. And we're not going to use this in any marketing survey or nothing like that. There's no ulterior motives here. I think that all of you are probably curious, and I am too. You know, we see all these studies, but I have never, ever, not once downloaded a movie over the internet. I don't. Yeah, no, I download video clips, but I've never downloaded a premiere release of a movie. I've never downloaded anything that lasted more than 2 minutes, like something on YouTube or something. So I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of people out there doing it. I don't know. But for me, it seems like a heck of a waste of time. My time is more valuable than to go out and download a DVD that I can rent or I can, you know, I can forget it. Let's move on. Do y'all remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about how the company RED had some of their new prototype cameras stolen along with some lenses and some computers? Well, it's being reported that they have recovered the majority of that. Not all of the stuff has been recorded. There's apparently some IP technology that's still missing. In other words, intellectual property that's still missing. You know, they had plans on essentially what this is was 11.4 megapixel camcorder, which is what they're designing here. There's some speculation. A lot of people, a lot of the pundits, or a lot of the people that are the conspiracy theorists say that RAD has made up this story. Of course, they have released some video from the camcorder that people have called suspicious. But what do you think? Do you think RAD has got the real deal here? Do they have are they going to be able to make a camcorder that's going to have 11.4 megapixel capability for the professional who's going to be able to plunk down $17,000 versus the cost of the closest competitor, which is, I think, like 5 or 6 times as expensive? We will see, but this has definitely got some intrigue to it. Little cloak and dagger. There could be a little bit of industrial espionage, Definitely makes for a good bedtime story in the tech world. So we will see what happens as this story develops. And I'll keep you informed, of course. But that's the headline. RED recovers stolen gear, but valuable IP still missing. Now, does RED have investors? And does that mean all their IP was stolen? So they're not going to be able to show their technology off? That is the question, isn't it? Okay, let's move on to the next article. Over on ShareWord Picnic number 73, Robin Good's website, he's got some great tools here he's talking about and a lot of sites I have never, ever heard about before. The first one up is OctoPZ is an online service that facilitates online collaboration, either synchronous or asynchronous environments, so the use of digital media, web conferencing, voice IP, and content management technologies. Sounds pretty cool. Another one of the sites he reviews here is called Mozio. It's a mobile community that connects you to your friends and information anytime and anywhere. WriteCart allows you to add a store to your blog or your personal web page for your small business website in minutes. There's an application called Speechy. It's a tool that allows you to convert a PowerPoint presentation to a Flash files. Now, this is a second offering in that. There was another company that's got a PowerPoint site, but it's not a Flash presentation. It's a little bit different. We talked about that in the last show. Then we've got PlinkMe.com is an online service that enables photographers to upload and get their pictures used across the internet with links back to their sites, and they can then check out how the photos are being used. We've got PollDaddy is an online tool which allows you to create polls and place them on your website or blog anywhere online. We may have to use PollDaddy for our little poll that I'm going to run here. We've also got SubmitMNow. SubmitMNow is a Mozilla Firefox extension which allows bloggers to submit their blog to their blogs easily and freely to the most important 9 directories. Oh, this allows you to submit your listing to some of the directories that are out there. So that's pretty cool. All right. Six Apart is reporting that MobileType is 5 years old. And, you know, I have to admit, I am still running. What version of MobileType am I? I'm still running 3.2, and I think they're up to 3.65. Here I was complaining all that time about MobileType and all the lack of progress they've done, and I have not had time to update my website to the new version. How many of you are using the new version of MobileType? How many of you have upgraded to their latest version, and what do you think? I have seen very few reviews on the new version. I know they announced it some time ago, and I had planned updating it. Matter of fact, I had downloaded the patches and all that stuff and had it up, but I hadn't read through the documentation to see if it was going to require any changes. But their product is now 5 years old, and, you know, I've been using MobileType since May 1st of 2002, so I guess that makes this blog over 4 years old. And you know something, it is the 10th of October, and you know what? This is about as close as we're going to get. Now, maybe not. I think Friday's show, let me look and see what the date on Friday is going to be. We're going to have to do something special on Friday. You know, Friday's show is going to be as close as it's going to get for 2 years of podcasting here at Geek News Central. And what do you think about that? That's pretty cool, yeah? So, we're going to have to do something special on Friday. Maybe we're going to give something away. Yeah, let's do that. Let's get something. Let's give something big away. Let me write that down. Give some. You guys keep me honest. We'll see what we'll give away. We're going to give. Yeah, what we'll do is I will take the voicemails that come in and all of the comments that come in via geeknews@gmail.com. I'm going to put all those people in a pool. I'll draw one, and we're going to give something big away. It have to be something for 2 years of podcasting. All right, let's do that. But anyway, back to topic at hand. Congratulations to MobileType for being 5 years old today. All right, now, how many of you have got a Tower Records in your community? Well, not for long. You know, 2 months ago, Tower Records filed for bankruptcy. And this was the second time in about 2 years, but it turns out that the company that bought them is going to sell them off. They're going to liquidate the business, sell the inventory, shut down the stores, and laying off all the people that work for Tower Records. So Tower Records, RIP, and TechDirt's got some information on that on this market. You know, obviously, I am probably like the majority of you. I have not been in, I've been through record stores. You know, the closest I've gotten to buying records or buying, geez, records, buying CDs or DVDs would be in like a Borders or something. You know, that would be about the closest I've gotten to picking up any media. So, it looks to me like, you know, those of you that are a big Towers fan, it's RIP, it's gone. It's going to bite the dust. But the question is, lessons could have been learned, and the lessons need to be learned by the rest of the industry that's out there, that they need to shift their markets. They need to evolve with the times. They need to, you know, realize that this is a new media market, and brick and mortar stores that deliver this type of digital content, it doesn't go no more. It just really, really doesn't. So I have to talk to my friend Eric Rice on this, because I know Eric Rice had a relationship with Tower Records. So we'll see what he has to say on the matter. All right, Jason Calacanis has been on the attack mode for the company that's Paper Post. This company, if you remember, we talked about a week or so ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, they got some venture capital funding, and the point that Jason's been making about this is transparency. You know, every time on this show, if we have a sponsor or if I get a product review, I always declare whether or not I got it for free. I declare that on my blog. You know, there's full transparency on product reviews or people that I talk about that have paid me to do so. In other words, if someone gives me some software, they've essentially paid me by giving me software to use or a product or whatever it is. So we do full transparency on stuff that we talk about. Well, apparently these folks over this pay per post website, they're working with some companies and they're having bloggers make posts on their web blogs without declaring that, or without that they're declaring that they're getting paid to do that. I agree with Jason. He's got a statement on here. You have to stop cancer quickly or it spreads. Same thing with this. Cannot allow bloggers to get away with doing reviews on products or talking about companies and getting paid to do it without revealing it. And matter of fact, what we should do is we should start a blog that calls out all these bloggers that do this by site and by name. I agree, Jason, with you 100% that this company has an issue. Now, they're making a response to this, the company has, that they're making some comparison on Jason's website. I'll put the link up in the show notes here. But, you know, Jason defends himself very, very well. And the question is, what is this company going to do? Are they going to change their policy and become more transparent? What's that going to do to their bottom line? Are companies that are working with them going to want to have it revealed that they're paying bloggers? You know, I was involved in one of the first pay-to-blog programs with Marquee. And, you know, here it is. 2 years later, 3 years later, whatever it is, Marquee's getting free. Again, getting free publicity on my show. But they paid for me to review their products. We did interviews with their CEO. It was all on the up and up. There was very big disclaimers on the bottom of every post that said this was a paid-to-review post. And it was an amazing campaign. They got great exposure from it. And I had positive and negative things to say on my blog about their company. Now, if these bloggers are doing nothing but saying positive things, it's wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. And ways, my hand's up in the air, folks. And I think you'll all agree with me on that. So we'll see. We'll see what develops here, but I'm hoping that the folks at paperpost.com figure this out and change their policy over there so that they can understand that we want full transparency from them. All right, new Google tool also handy for mischief. This is a PC World article, and apparently some people are a little bit concerned about this Google source code search engine. Angelo and Matt over at Raw Voice, they love this thing. But also, the people are worried that the hackers are going to love this thing and being able to vet software out and be able to find weaknesses. And, you know, most this stuff is all available on the net already. Google has just indexed it and made it available, easy to search. You don't think hackers who are looking for specific exploits for specific types of programs aren't going over to SourceForge or wherever this code is being put online and looking at that way? You don't think they weren't finding that via Google? Well, PC World's saying, oh my goodness, we're giving hackers a way to identify a vulnerable source of information. Well, no kidding. Well, we'll see what happens here. I got it. Who is this? I got someone, a voicemail from, or instant message from someone. I don't know who you are. All right, let me close that window for now. All right, Ars Technica has a great review of changes to Firefox Release Candidate 2. It step by step goes through all the interface changes. Talks about things that they've done to improve the interface. It just goes, it's a great review. So I'd like you to, if you're a Firefox user and you're wondering what's coming with Release Candidate 2, or if you're running it, I'd like to see your own reviews. I'm not currently running a Release Candidate 2. I got to get it loaded up. But what they have here is some interface improvements as well in the actual postings. So we'll keep our eye peeled, and I'm looking forward to release candidate number 2 being finalized and them going full beta with this, or not a full release with this. So we'll see what happens. Okay, there's a article out on HelpNet Security at www.nettaxsecurity.org. First time I've linked to an article over there. But there's a very, very good article about top 10 Web 2.0 attack vectors. And this goes into talking about how Ajax and rich internet application clients are now the new targets of a lot of security issues that are going out there, and how the Web 2.0 community is reshaping how hackers are going after information and that type of stuff. And this is a, let me look, how many pages? This is a 6-page article. It talks about the top 10 attack vectors and a brief overview of each. So if you're a developer, this would probably be a very good article to read. And I found it very fascinating just for the simple fact that it's pretty cool. It talks about talks about what's happening in the space and how security is changing and being, reshaped. All right, there's a very interesting post on the New York Post. And this, here we go, another first. I don't think I've ever linked to an article on the New York Post, but Verizon says, come get DSL, then is turning some away. It appears that even though Verizon has invested millions and made probably a billion in building out its DSL network, that they're running into trouble in New York, actually in New York City and in some of the boroughs where there is a service interruption. They don't have, people are complaining about bandwidth speeds. Their availability is, people are calling or saying, sorry, we don't have any more connectivity left for you. You can't, we can't sign you up. So they are apparently, quote unquote, oversold the product there. So if you are a Verizon customer in New York, have you seen any problems? If you're in Queens, this is where the article is really centering on is Queens and having a lot of problems. So the Verizon people are saying, oh, you can't wire for unlimited everything. But it's very obvious that Verizon does not have enough bandwidth on the head end, and they're going to have to spend some more of that money of theirs to get some more speed built into their network. And if they don't, people are going to go other places. You know, people aren't going to put up with slow internet for very long, that's for sure. All right, got one more article. Actually, we're done with the articles tonight. Let me open up my show notes here. Let's see, here we go over to show comments. What have we got? Let me bring that up. You guys hear my kids in the background? Oh, I got an email from Sam. Says, Todd, while Opera is a multi-platform, I don't actually know of anyone who actually uses Opera on a Mac. They do, however, make mini versions of Opera that are available on a lot of phones that run Symbian, like most of the Nokia smartphones. There's also versions of Opera for the Nintendo DS that is available in Japan and will be released in the U.S. soon. The new Wii will also have the Opera browser on it. Firefox is also far from Windows only, and in fact, here, Firefox is also far from Windows only. Okay, and in fact, is also the second most popular browser on Macs after Safari. I agree. I use Firefox on my Mac as well. Says Firefox is also preloaded on most Linux distros. I understand that, Sam. I've got an email from, let's see, actually, I already covered that email in another show. Had some other stuff, too, where some people, I had an email from a listener that said that the two graphics that were comparing the Firefox graphic and the Opera graphic weren't that necessarily close together. I don't know about you, but they were definitely very, very close together. All right, got some voicemail comments tonight. We're going to focus on that at the end of the show. We're at 51 minutes. Let's get through a few of these. I'm going to try to get cards to everyone. I'll be sending you an email asking for your address. If I play your voicemail tonight and I don't contact you by email tomorrow, send me an email with your address on it. So just going to make it a lot easier for me, okay? Because I was trying to scribble these email addresses down as I was listening to them. Let's go into the first voicemail comment.
Hey, Todd, it's Susabelle in sunny, chilly Missouri. And I just wanted to make a quick little comment about, you know, how we get tech for our spouse and make them happy. Well, I'm the tech person for my family, and my husband gets all excited about something, and then there it is on his desk, and he gets so happy. Also wanted to check and see how Dragon was working for you, if you're still trying to do it and make it work for you, and would just be interested in your feedback on that because we are using it where I'm working now. So I'm just curious about that. And also I think all those old people that are on MySpace are like me. I have an account. I use it to watch my kids. I don't have anything posted there. I don't have a site up or anything like that. I just use it to get in there and take a look at what my kids are doing. So that may be why the demographic is showing that there's older people there. I think a lot of them are like me. I'm 45. My kids are teenagers. I'm watching what they're doing. So keep up the good work. Great show. My email address.
All right. Well, stop right there so you guys don't, so no one will lift her email address out of the show. Not like anyone would anyway. Hey, I haven't had a chance to play with Dragon in about the last month. Actually, ever since my father died, I just haven't had time to play with it. I do plan on getting back and trying to develop a little more for doing transcripts. It has proved to be a little bit of a challenge, and it's definitely not the best solution, but it's really, at this point, kind of the only solution out there for us. And I do agree with you as well that probably a lot of these older people are on MySpace just to check up on their kids. I know that's what I do. So thanks for that. And you'll definitely get a Starbucks card and some blueberry swag. All right, here's the next one.
Hey, Todd. Clint calling from Houston, Texas. Listen, I've really been enjoying your podcast on Geek News Central. And I just wanted to express my condolences for your loss recently.
Thanks, Clint.
And anyway, you've been in the prayers of a lot of people here in Houston. And I want to leave you a little funny joke you can air on Geek News Central.
It's going to come
Let
up
me
here,
leave
Clint.
A pause here. What's the best way to catch a squirrel? Climb a tree and act like a nut.
All right, Clint, thanks so much for that, and we'll definitely get you a Starbucks cards out in the mail, and I do appreciate your words of condolences. It is much appreciated. All right, next one is up, and we'll see who this one is.
Hi, Todd. This is Tom from the Fogview Podcast.
Hey, Tom.
I want to give you a couple comments on your last show. First off, for the gentleman that was looking for a Flash audio player for his website, one that I've used is an actual WordPress plugin. But it does work on normal websites, and you can find that at onepixelout.net. That's the number one, PIXELOUT.net, and you just download the code, and he has instructions for installing it on a website. And it's a nice, small, compact audio player, which is great for doing welcomes or something on your site. Secondly, you were asking about mobile devices, and you had a link to rentometer.com, rentometer.com for displaying prices of apartments in your area or rental. And I tried that on my, I have a Trio 700WX, which is a Sprint phone that runs Windows Mobile 5.0. And it doesn't display that site very well, mainly because it doesn't display the Google map that comes up after you enter in the zip code and information. And so I don't think that Google Maps are made for portable devices yet. At least it wasn't on for that site. I do like the Trio. It has EVDO, so it's very fast. I used it when I went down to the podcasting expo last week, and I took that in place of my laptop and was able to get the email and read news and things, and it was really enjoyable, especially not having to carry a heavy laptop around with me. I did show Angelo at the blueberry party. We brought a blueberry on the device, showing him what it looked like on a portable device. It displayed, but definitely wasn't mobile friendly. So maybe in the future you can make a mobile version of Blueberry that would work on the handheld devices. Might be pretty good.
All right, Tom. I know you had a few more comments there. I actually cut those off at the end. But hey, thanks for those comments. And yeah, we need to make Blueberry more friendly for mobile devices. A great idea. Matter of fact, I'm going to add it to our agenda tomorrow for our meeting that we have. All right. And Tom, of course, I'll send you a Starbucks card and some blueberry swag as well. All right. Next up.
Hi, Todd. It's Tom Cybercoin with the Elevator Radio Show podcast. I just want to let you know, I wanted to thank you personally for all that you've done for podcasting. And if it wasn't for you and your book, I would not have 41 shows under my belt and having a great time doing it.
Great.
And just want to let you know, thank you. Thanks for everything you do. I am with you. I think that podcasting is the wave of the future as far as media is concerned. If Microsoft doesn't get it, they can be left out in the cold at some point.
Yes, they can.
So I will continue to support podcasting, and I will continue to support Blueberry, .com. I've already talked about it in my podcast to my audience, but you're right. There are so many people out there that just don't get what podcasting is. Even my listeners, I had an interview last week with somebody who flew in actually to do the interview, and she called it an iPod, and I had to quickly explain to her, no, this isn't an iPod. This is a podcast. And she was really, confused. When you record the show live, no, that's the beauty of it. You don't have to record your show live, and you can pick it up whenever. So keep up the good work. I am looking forward to your next show, and this is the way of the future. Trust me, it's there, and videocasting is going to be it's going to be just as important. We're already looking at applications for videocasting for instructional guides, and I think it's going to be a nice, easy way of reaching so many more people in a global way. So hey, thanks for putting the book together. Thanks for everything you do, and keep up the good work. Okay, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks so much for that. And I tell you what, I had so many people come up to me at the podcast and Portable Media Expo and says, you're at fault. You're the one. Why did you do that? And I'm like, what do you mean? I read your book. Why did I do that? You've cost me more time at my computer. I consider that a good thing and a compliment. So if you get a divorce, it's not my fault. Manage your time wisely, okay? But anyway, thanks for that. All right, last comment of the night. Everyone is going to be getting Starbucks cards. And here's the last one. I don't think I previewed this one, so we'll see what this one has to say.
Hey, Todd, how you doing, buddy? This is Richie Poland. I'm a disabled veteran staying out here in Seattle.
Hey, Richie.
Just got back from Iraq. And
what service?
I listen to you. I've been listening to you for a while now, and I got the guys in my platoon listening to you.
Army or Marine?
So Geek Tech guys.
Great.
Anyway, also a belated condolences on, the family stuff.
Thanks,
and,
Richie.
And I just thought I'd tell you how much I like your show. Anyway, maybe I can squeeze a little free swag out of you since my birthday's coming up this week.
Well, Richie, I'll definitely send you some swag, and your birthday's coming up actually on the anniversary, 2-year anniversary of me doing podcasting. So, hey, thanks for sharing the show with the guys in your platoon. It sounds like it's Army. I think that's, I don't know if Marines have, and Marines have platoons too, but either way, thanks so much for that. And as a fellow service member, thank you for your service as well. Hey, okay, we're already over an hour, so let's wrap it up for the day. As always, I want to thank all of you for being part of the family here and being part of the Ohana. And y'all can add that to, make sure you add that to your dictionary, O-H-A-N-A. And you can always send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline. Put it in your phone, 619-342-7365. Got lots of swag, got Starbucks cards to give away, and heck, if we run out, I'll go get some more. So we're going to do something big for the next show. I'm going to give something big away. So send in your comments, and we really do appreciate the feedback. And gosh, all the compliments, I'm going to have to pop my head here a little bit. But hey, thanks so much for being part of the family. Again, we'll get out of here. Everyone have a great week. Aloha.